I kept singing that song all morning. So if you find yourself humming that tune throughout the day, don't be surprised. Good song. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 John. 2 John. I said a moment ago, Lord willing, I'd like to look at the first six verses of this blessed portion of Scripture, and then verses 7 to 13 in the second message. The Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle John to write a letter, and a letter that we now find in the Holy Scriptures. Now, I doubt not that when John wrote this letter, he was writing a letter, and I truly believe it starts off, the elder unto the elect lady, and I know we can often refer to the church as the lady, the bride, but the wording of this is such that I truly am convinced he was writing to a woman. He was writing to a friend and a believer. And this is what he says. I'm going to read the first six verses, and then we'll look at each verse for just a few moments. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Now, the Apostle John begins with a special greeting to this lady. She's not mentioned. There's been speculation. Some of the commentators that I looked at, they speculated who it was. Scripture doesn't say who it was. And so, if the Spirit of God's pleased to be silent on it, well, it's a lady, some lady that he wrote to. But he says the elder. Now, John at this time is probably somewhere around 100 years old, and he refers to himself not only as one advanced in years, but one that has been blessed of God with a calling to be an apostle to God's people, the Lord's apostle, an elder, one that has been now kept by the power of God through faith. He's still here. After all these years, here he is. He's an old man. But God has kept him. And how it rejoices our heart to behold the sustaining grace of Almighty God. And five times in this first part of this letter, he mentions truth. Truth. There's one thing the Lord Jesus Christ said sets a man, a woman free. What? Truth. Truth. The truth himself. Christ, the truth, through the preaching of the truth of Christ, the glory of God, in this blessed gospel that we preach and love. Now, he addresses this letter to this lady. But I want you to notice the elect lady. The elect lady. How the Spirit of God moved on John to address her with that blessed title. Who is she? She's an elect lady. Loved of God before the foundation of the world, chosen to life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that she should be holy and without blame before God in love. And John not only writing this to a woman that he had some confidence in, but also to her children. She obviously raised her kids up under the sound of the gospel, and the Lord was pleased to bless the word to their hearts. And I'm talking to all of us who are parents, grandparents. May we all be reminded, let a priority be set upon our children and our grandchildren concerning the gospel. This is the only way that Almighty God has revealed that He's going to bless to the salvation of His people through the hearing of the truth. So here's a woman that she had some kids, and obviously she liked Timothy. You know, Timothy, but his mama and his grandma, you know, they had taught him the scriptures, made him wise unto salvation by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So we make, it's a priority over the gospel. This is not give and take here and there. Maybe, you know, if I had time to. The gospel. Keep your kids. Encourage your kids. Pray with them. Teach them the scriptures. Teach them God's word. Encourage them. Tell them the importance of hearing the truth. So John had said that with others, the elder under the elect lady, whom I love in the truth. He loved her. He loved her for the sake of the truth, for the glory of God and truth. He had a special love for this woman. By this, the scripture says, the Lord speaking, John 13:35, by this, here's the key. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What? Because you confess 5 points of Calvinism? What? Because you attend services? What? By this shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love one for another. The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love. I love in the truth. And John not only confessed that he loved her in the truth, but declared in verse 2 that he loved her. Look at this. For the truth's sake, for Christ's sake, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved us, His people, and given Himself for us. The truth Himself, John says, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Here's the promise that we have. He never leaves us and never forsakes us. Why? Because He dwelleth. You know what that ETH on the end of that word means. He dwelleth. He dwelleth. He dwelleth. This is the response that a believer has with another believer. The Christ in a believer loves the Christ in another believer. And that spirit bears witness with one with another. And God's people, they love one another. John said, I love you. I love you in the truth, and I love you for the truth's sake. The Lord dwells in His people. God's people look, they see, they know. Christ in my brother, Christ in my sister, I love you for the truth's sake. The truth that dwells in you. The Lord has said concerning being dwelling in us. Paul had said in Galatians 4:19, till Christ be formed in you, when the Spirit of God is pleased to call out his people out of spiritual darkness and regenerate us, Christ is said to be formed in us, dwelling in us, teaching us. And you know, it's then that God's people know this is more. This is not religion. Religion is rampant. Religion's everywhere. But God's people are in love. They're in love not with religion. They're in love with a person. It's Christ in them, the hope of glory. It's then when the Lord calls them out of darkness, it's then that they know him. That's what Paul said, oh, that I might know him. And a believer that knows him says, oh, that I might know him. That I might know him. That I might be taught of him. Teach me something. How many years have many of us sat under the gospel, heard the gospel, and we hear the gospel, and it's fresh and it's new every time? I said, I got to have that. I've got to hear. I must hear. I cannot be without him. I cannot be without hearing him. I must hear him. Lord, teach me. Teach me afresh. The more we know, the more ignorant we are. We know that. We know that. The more we hear, the more we know. I need to hear. And by faith, we actually believe that we actually have him. We have him. He has us. We have him. Spirit of God, mind of Christ is in us, and he manifests himself through. And you notice the fruit of God's Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Oh, until this blessed rebirth takes place. Actually, from above, from heaven, it's just nothing. We're just going through the motions is all we're doing. There's no life. But oh, when the Spirit of God is pleased to move upon God's people and Christ is formed in them and he dwells in them. By faith, they know it. John says, I love you. I love you in the truth. I love you for the truth's sake, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ever-present, ever-faithful Lord of glory, who is the Master. He's the Lord, the Messiah, the Mediator. That's who he is. Those that love the gospel, they rejoice in the effects of that God has wrought, not only in them, but in their brethren. They love them for the truth's sake. What comfort, what mercy, what peace is wrought within a believer when the Lord has taught them of his blessed presence in them. Now, as many times as we've heard that, that's what he says. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. Now, isn't it sad how many times we forget that? We forget it. We forget to be mindful. Christ is dwelling in his people, in me. He dwells in me. You that know him, he dwells in you. How can I not love you? How can I not love one that Christ has done something for? If he's done something for me, he's done something for you. John said, I love you. He told this lady, he said, I love you. I love you in the truth. I love you for Christ's sake. He said, there's life there. There's a new man there. And then he says in verse 3, grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He gives us this wonderful word of encouragement. God's been gracious to you.
That's what he's saying to them.
Grace be with you. And mercy and peace. Lord said, I'm going to be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'm going to have compassion. And John is writing to a lady that he's convinced, he believes this, the Lord's done something for you. And he's done something for her children too. He said, I see and I know, moved by the Spirit of God, to behold something of the evidence of God's grace in you. He said, I'm writing to you to tell you how much I love you and I appreciate you. And then he gives this special word of thanksgiving. Not only for her, but he says in verse 4, I rejoice greatly. I exceedingly rejoice that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now he rejoiced in this lady, rejoiced in the Lord for this lady. But there's something that he says in verse 4 that I need to bring out. He says the wording in verse 4, and I looked it up and I tried to get the heart, the spirit of exactly what he was saying right here. And this is, I'm convinced, is what he's saying. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children. You see the word of? It's real easy to miss it when you're reading. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children. What John is saying right here is that some of her children, not all of them, but some of them, of this lady's children, he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of. Well, that word of means, it means in the midst, within the group. I rejoice greatly that within the group of your children, that Almighty God has been pleased to show mercy to some of your children. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we've received commandment of the Father. Obviously, not all of her children were believers. John rejoiced in those that the Lord was pleased to rejoice. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was praying unto his Father, he said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes. Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Now, this is one thing that we need to just understand. And we bow to the good pleasure of Almighty God. Though not all of this elect lady's children were, at the time of this writing, for sure, called out of darkness. Obviously, there was something that John detected. He knew that not all of her kids. I mean, we know this. Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel. And Almighty God was pleased to save one of them and pass by the other. Abraham, Sarah had two boys, Jacob and Esau. And Scripture sets forth that God loved one and he hated the other one. David had Solomon and Absalom. And God was pleased to bless one with great wisdom, made him a king, and he left the other in his rebellion. Now, salvation, obviously, the Lord said this through John the Apostle in John chapter 1. Salvation does not run in blood, the bloodlines. Not by blood. Not by blood. The Lord saves whomsoever He will. And He shows distinguishing, discriminating grace to whomsoever He will. And to those that He's pleased to leave to themselves, He does. Romans chapter 9, verse 21, "Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Now I know that this flies in the face of the flesh. I know that. I know that it immediately what the flesh is going to say is, "That's not fair. That's not fair." But I go back to, you know, if we want to just talk about fair, here's fair. In Adam all die. And if you talk about what's fair now, all of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Here's one thing we don't want to talk about. We don't want to talk about God being fair toward us in judgment. He said, "I'm a just God, but I'm a Savior." And the greatest blessing that we can realize is found in that first verse. "The elder unto the elect lady." God Almighty was pleased, in spite of her, in spite of some of her children, in spite of me, and in spite of some of you, God was pleased to show mercy. "I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to have compassion." And that Almighty God did not leave us all in the bondage of iniquity and darkness and unbelief. But He was pleased out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. He was pleased to show mercy to some. It's only by the grace of God. I mean, the flesh wants to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the feet of God, and say, "You're not being fair." Oh, God's fair. He's fair. He's chosen a people in His Son, and in absolute fairness and righteousness and justice, Christ bore the debt, the totality of the debt of all of His people. He was made that. He was made sin, and in absolute fairness, God Almighty dealt with Him fairly. When He bore our guilt, He received exactly what the law demanded. He received exactly what you and I deserve. But when He was made sin, I've said this before and I say it reverently, respectfully, did He deserve to die, being our substitute, bearing our guilt, being made sin? Did He deserve to die? Yes. 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 Somebody said, "Oh, I don't believe that." Well, then God's not fair. God's not just. How can you say that Almighty God did something that was unfair? He was made sin. I don't understand the depth of that. But I can tell you this, what we deserve. You say, "Well, I believe we deserved it." Well, He was made us. And He bore our guilt. He said, "These are mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. They're more than the hairs of my head. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Sin was found there. John said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." John was saying, "I'm glad God has shown mercy to some of your kids. I'm glad that God's been merciful to some, shown discriminating grace. I'm thankful that the Lord would save any. I'm thankful that God's shown mercy to me. But I can tell you this, had God left me to myself to do what I want to do, I would never be able to lay it at the feet of Him that He wasn't fair. If God Almighty left me to myself and put me in hell, He's fair. He's right. He's just. He does as He will. But to some of this woman's kids, the Lord had been pleased to call them out. And they exhibited the evidence of God's grace. They adorned the gospel. They adorned the doctrine that they confessed. They confessed the Lord. They confessed to know Him and love Him in their conversation, their walk, manifested that the Lord had done something for them. They walked in truth. They walked in the light of the gospel of Christ. That's a believer. A believer walks in the light. Now listen to this blessed scripture here out of Micah. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? I was thinking about this passage when John was talking about, he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as they received a commandment from the Father. What commandment? What commandment? You know, we believe Him. But listen to this. Here's a commandment right here. Listen to this commandment. And all that know Him and love Him and rejoice in Him that dwelleth in us, they walk just like this. Every believer walks just like this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, what does that mean? Well, to do justly. What is it to do justly? What is it to do and to confess right? To do justly. I tell you, when we confess ourselves by reason of sin, that we justly deserved His wrath. We justly deserved it. I'm gonna be honest with you. That's what a believer says. This is I deserve justice. I deserved it. I did that which was deserving of His judgment. That's doing justly. I deserved to be cast out in myself because I've sinned against Him. But here's the next thing they do. They love mercy. They do justly. They say, I deserve this. But we love mercy. We love the mercy of God. Do you know when we speak of God having mercy on us, you know what we're saying? We're really guilty. We're guilty. I mean, somebody that needs mercy, what I'm saying is I've done just exactly what the Scripture says I've done. I need God Almighty to have mercy upon me. I need for one to bear my guilt. I need for one put away my sin. I want God to be just. He is just. I want Him to do that. But Lord, could You have mercy on me? Lord, I know You're going to deal with it. I know You're going to deal with my sin. I know You are, because You're a just God. And Lord, I know You're right. I know that. But Lord, is there any way that You could show mercy to me? And it's going to be at the expense of another. It's going to be at His expense. And Lord, how thankful, Lord, that You willingly bore my guilt. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to die. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life. Lord, oh, Lord, I admit what I am. Lord, how I love your mercy. Lord, you said, you laid down your life for your people. Lord, I believe you called me out of darkness. I believe you taught me this. Lord, I believe you've taught me that it's not by works of righteousness that I've done. Lord, I believe that. I believe that when you say you chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before you in love, Lord, I know it's going to cost the life of your Son. And Lord, you said you laid down your life. And Father, you said when you see the blood for all that the Son redeemed and laid down his life, Lord, you said, you'll pass over me. And Lord, I need that. I need that. I realize it, Lord. I've realized it before and I realize it now and I'm going to have to realize it again. But Lord, I love mercy. And I know that I stand accepted of you only in him who has laid down his life for me. And thirdly, we walk humbly with God. While from a daily sense of our sin, we feel the corruption within. We know we continually are asking the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy again on me. Lord, keep me from promising I'll never do it again. Lord, I don't want to, but I know. Lord, forgive me. Keep me from presumptuous sin. And then in closing, he exhorted her to obedience. We know that the Spirit of God moved upon John to write this, but he's teaching us, the Lord is teaching us through this letter to this lady. Listen to this. He says in verse 5, "Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." Now, how often do we need to be reminded of that? You know, we need to be taught afresh. Somebody said, "Well, I've heard that before." I know we've all heard it before. That's why Paul says to say the same things to you is not grievous to him. For us, it's safe. It's safe. John expressed to his sister, that elect lady, the commandment that he was reminding her of. You know, he said, "I beseech you. I'm going to tell you. I want you to take this into consideration again." That's what he's saying to all of us. Take this into consideration again. Take this commandment that we had from the beginning. Now, you know, the Lord, John had heard the Lord say that. John chapter 13, 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now, here's the thing I know. I know this. None of us will ever love one another as, in the same way as. You know that. Well, what is he saying? The Lord said that. What is he saying? You love one another as I have loved you. What? Forgive them. Forgive them. I looked up that word forgive. You know, we use that word. So, you know, lift it up and put it away. If I have forgiven you, if you've forgiven me for something, here's what I want to say. Forget it. Forget it. That's something we can't hardly do, is it? I mean, we can forgive them and it's a putting away, but forgetting it. Forgetting it. That's the thing. Forbear with them. Forbear with them. Prefer them. What? As brethren. As one another, brothers and sisters. Love them freely, notwithstanding their weaknesses and their imperfections. We're brethren. We're brethren. Christ dwelleth in us. But you know, when the Lord quoted that in John 13, 34, the Spirit of God had moved upon the writer to of Moses, of the book of Leviticus, to write this. This was The Lord had moved upon one of his own to pen this. Listen to this, Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah. I am the Lord. Don't try to avenge. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, I'm the world's worst. You think I'm not. You think you say, well, Marvin, you're a whole lot more forbearing. Well, you see my heart. You'll say, no, I don't know. I don't know if you are or not. I'm telling you, I can go off at the drop of a hat. In a second. But hear the Lord. Do not avenge. Don't bear any grudge. Guilty. Don't. John says, I beseech thee, lady. Not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. Let us love one another. Forbear with one another. Pray for one another. Have each other's backs. We're the Lord's. And then finally, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. This is love. This is the evidence. This is the exhibition of it. That we walk after his commandments that you've heard from the beginning. Walk in it. What true love, John is saying, is active. It manifests itself. It's not in word only. Indeed, practice. What men call love, this feeling toward God and men, if it's void of experience, if it's void of actually doing it, then it's worthless. It's worthless. It's just self-serving. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep his commandments. Love one another. Admit we are, by the grace of God, knit together in Christ. True love is found when the Lord, when his will, his word, his glory is preeminent. What does it matter? John said, I love you for the truth's sake. I think here we are, right here. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the unity of the body, is it my little old fickle feelings, my little old petty, for the sake of the truth, for the unity of the body. John said, I want to remind you something. I want to remind you of something that we heard from the beginning, that we love one another. I pray God be pleased to bless this message, and Lord willing, we'll go right on into verse 7, just a few minutes, and finish the letter that John wrote to this elect lady. So let's just take a break for about 10 minutes, and we'll go from there.